Hey now, welcome back, welcome in. Thanks for joining us one more time. I am Pastor Dave, sitting with me, Randall the Armor Bearer. We are
They That Believe.
This is where church culture meets pop culture. We talk entertainment news, current events, world news, geek news, Russians, all filtered.
Russians.
All filtered. Everybody else is talking about it. All filtered through a lens of lifestyle Christianity. I was just joking. We're not going to talk about Russians.
Good.
That's a bunch of nonsense anyway. Oh, where to go? I wanted to tell you a little bit more. I thought of some things that I didn't squeeze in last time we were here. I was going to tell you a little bit more about our time spent in Nashville. As I told everybody last week, I had had the hernia surgery, and then during the course of my recovery, my mom passed away, and we spent 2-3 weeks, I don't know, in Nashville with my grandmother, taking care of her and also doing funeral stuff and family stuff around mom's passing. Well, I had a lot more downtime. I was already having a lot of downtime and got super fat, as we talked about. Some of which is coming off. I'm already starting to feel a little bit of difference. So today, I really felt it. I felt a little better. Now, I'm still fat, but I'm moving in the right direction. And did that at grandmother's house as well. We laid around. And now, grandmother has Dish Network or DirecTV. I don't remember which one. I think it's Direct because Gretchen has Dish. But no internet. It's very savage and primitive out there. There's no internet. You barely get any cell service. So it was pretty tough. So, and it's really bizarre because she's in a very rural area, but like 15 or 20 minutes from downtown Nashville. It's crazy how that works, but you can get on the highway and then get on Briley Parkway and boom, you're downtown.
You know, I always hear people talk about the old dial-up internet connections and how bad they were. But when you think about it, though, those web pages back then were built for dial-up. They didn't have a whole bunch of movies on them or any of that stuff, you know.
Oh, no. You didn't get anything like that. But the pages still loaded slow and stuff.
But yeah, but I mean, you usually got the text first, which is what you were looking for, and then pictures came around it, you know.
Yeah. Well, where I was going with all that, you know, I didn't get to watch any of my shows, my stories on, you know, my Netflix or HBO Now or any of that kind of stuff. So I pretty much stuck watching whatever is on grandmother's. I keep wanting to say cable, but it's not cable anymore. Even though we say it's like when people go, they use their phones to record something and they go, I videotaped it.
Yeah.
And I go, there's no videotape in your phone. You didn't videotape any. I don't know. Maybe that's just me being being obnoxious, but does that kind of thing bother you?
I digitally recorded it.
Yeah, I recorded it or something like that. Or I guess you could even say I videoed it. I videotaped. It has become a catch-all for visually recording something.
So do you have a problem with like America's Funniest Home Videos?
Well, no, those were home videos. Well, then they were videotapes in the early days mostly. Mm-hmm. But even if you say video, I mean video, that covers it. But isn't people say videotape? And think about it, the kids that are saying it have never seen videotape, right?
The real video, I mean, they might have saw a VHS tape or something, but
in a yard sale somewhere, maybe. So I had to watch whatever. It was weird. Like, you had to watch whatever was programmed to come on. You know, you can't pick what you want to watch.
Yeah.
So I pretty much the entire time for like 3 weeks straight, I watched two things around the clock. And it was like when one would go off, the other would come on. Impractical Jokers. Do you know this show?
I haven't seen it, but I know what you're talking about.
It's really funny, but I don't have a lot to say about that. The other one, though, I did kind of want to ask you about. And the other thing I watched was Catfish. Now, you know about the Catfish?
Oh, yes.
Do you watch it, or have you watched the show?
I have not, but my mom is in love with the show.
With the Catfish. Yeah. And it's one of those things that I only sort of halfway get. You know, we talk about things I don't get. There's a lot of stuff I don't. But some of it, I guess, I understand. So basically, the premise of the show, if nobody's ever seen it, is people get almost emotionally defrauded on the internet. I guess that's the way to do it. People set up fake profiles, fake names. They use other people's pictures. Somebody else on the other side of the internet who's lonely and looking for somebody to love them, and they fall in love, and they whoever they're talking to, you know, sells them a big fish story about whoever they are, and they start to get suspicious because what are the things that you always see? Like there was always an excuse not to meet.
Right.
I can't meet. And a lot of them, too, are long distance anyway. Yeah. You know, they're talking to people. Here's what gets me. And I hear people say this on the show. They're like, well, we've been in a relationship for 3 years. You know, we've been dating for 2.5 years. What they're talking about is communicating with each other, like, on internet.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not in real life, but now dating and being together with some, like, that counts.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that?
The ones I crack up on are the ones that haven't talked to each other on the phone. It's like all they've done is text each other back and forth, and they're, you know, oh, he's proposed to me. You don't even know if it's a guy or a girl.
They're planning a life together with people they've never met. We're going to get married, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that. Now you mentioned the phone calls.
Uh-huh.
There are several things that are always cues or clues, rather, and that's people don't want to meet, they don't want to talk on the phone, and they don't want to video chat. Which is a thing in this day and age, too.
Yeah.
And they all generally mean something different. And I'm learning the rules as I'm watching the Catfish show. Max, who's one of the hosts of the show, says anytime somebody doesn't want to talk on the phone, it's an indicator that it may be someone of the opposite sex or gender. So you think you're talking to a woman, it may really be a man. They don't want to give their voice away. The video chat, obviously, there is, so you can't see that it's not who you think you're talking
different
to.
Different picture on the...
Yeah. You think you're talking to Bradley Cooper, and then if I get on the video chat, you see that it's really me. Which you'd be more excited, I guess. But the idea that you can be in this is the way people think now, and this is the way the world is. And you got to think, there are people on there, who are they mostly dealing with? And it's usually 20-somethings, sometimes even younger than that. Occasionally somebody a little older, but there's a generation of people now. And I guess the 20-somethings, if you think, you know, they've only... Now, we've not necessarily had internet for 20 years, I don't guess. Well, just about. That'd be 97, wouldn't it?
96, we had internet at our house.
So these are kids that have never experienced a world without it, right? This generation. And their life experience apparently can include relationships, full-on relationships. We're dating, we're together, we're planning a life together, all done digitally through the internet. That makes no sense to me.
Oh, me either. It doesn't.
Don't you think, though, does it not seem like, even though you grow up in a digital world and you grow up in the internet world, where's that disconnect? How come they don't? And I'm not even talking about even if you're suspicious of somebody that they're trying to deceive you. Just the idea that you're together with somebody and have a relationship. I mean, doesn't that almost seem like, I don't know, that a normal person could figure that out? Or,
I mean, you would think, but
I mean, what benefit do you don't see them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't spend any time with them or do anything with them. And in these cases, these extreme cases where it's somebody that's real sketchy, you know, you're probably not even talking to them. It's all done through, like, messaging. And they call that a full-on relationship.
There's a certain level of people now that are antisocial and don't want to go out and don't want to do things. And I think this is their perfect way of being in a relationship without having to give up any of that free time or any of their personal space or whatever. And I think there could be something to be said for that, for not wanting to, you know, if you don't want to be around people, which a lot of folks don't want to be around people.
Yeah, I've kind of got that.
You don't want to be in a relationship, but you kind of want someone to talk to every now and then, you know. I can kind of get that, but I wouldn't be planning marriage and
Right. That's what I'm saying. I mean, the whole idea that, that young people have grown up in this world of texting and internet and messaging, you know, I understand that that has formed them where they interact a different way, if at all. Mm-hmm. But just the idea of filtering it through now, that that alone can qualify as some sort of legitimate relationship. Now, we all understand, even those of us, even the grown-ups who have now gotten spoiled with internet and cell phones. I never liked talking on the phone to begin with.
No.
And you certainly don't like talking on the phone now.
No.
You know, message me. And I even tell people, don't even text message me because I sleep during the day. If you get me on the Facebook Messenger, I'll see it. And when I wake up or something, you know what I mean? It won't disturb me like my phone going off.
Do you ever get that like sinking feeling in your stomach when your phone starts ringing like someone's actually on it? Like someone's actually calling you? I do that all the time. I'm like, oh.
It's all telemarketers and stuff. And I'm on the do not call registry. About a year ago, they started coming in. And here's the ones I get. Well, maybe don't let me get too far away from catfish, but here's the ones I get. It's, hi, this is Cindy, and we're calling from, you stayed at one of our resorts. I've gotten this one 100 times when I've never stayed at anybody's resort. And I'll hang up on them sometimes. Or here's something they do. Tell me if you can explain this one. I've had this happen 20 times, maybe. I'll pick up the phone, and I go, hello? Nothing.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll go,
yeah.
Hello?
And boop, boop.
And then the girl will come on, and she'll go, oh, sorry there. I'm having a problem with my headset. That has happened. That exact exchange has happened 15, 20 times.
Well, what they're doing is they're in a huge call center. And so the computer makes the call.
It's robocalling, and then it alerts them when somebody's on
the phone. And then as soon as somebody comes free, they put them on the phone with you.
But they apparently that's one of their cover stories for why they're late answering the phone is my headset. I've heard my headset I don't know how many times. Oh, it's like, why do that?
I always just hang up on them. And I wait till they answer, too, before I hang up on them. I wait till someone's actually talking on the phone, then hang up. I don't know why, but it just seems more fun to me to do it that way.
Here's another thing that happened to me in the last couple of months. I don't know who got a hold of my stuff or my internet stuff or what I might have clicked on. I don't know if I did it or if somebody else did it fishing around. But a few weeks ago, I started immediately. My phone was blowing up with alerts. Change your password. Something's going on. Unusual activity on like all my accounts. So whoever got a password apparently was trying to get into all kinds of stuff. So I had to spend half a day like changing passwords for credit cards and email and Facebook and Amazon and everything. I mean, it just, I came under a digital attack, but I mean, I guess everything worked out. I mean, I didn't lose anything or get ripped off or anything.
Oh, let me tell you mine. Mine's even better. I started showing up iTunes charges on my, I keep close track of my bank account. And so I started showing up iTunes charges on it. And I'm like,
yeah, we covered that. You still keep the check register.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I was like, so I called the bank. And I'm like, you know, I haven't bought anything through iTunes. And nobody on iTunes should have access to my debit card number. So this went on for like 4 weeks. They charged me for 4 weeks. And it was only like $3.28. It's not like it's breaking me, but it was bothering me, you know, that I can't account for this money in my account. So I finally get a hold of iTunes, and they say, we can't figure out, we don't have the ability to figure out what is getting charged to your account since you don't have an account with us. So we can't reverse the charges.
What?
Yeah. And I was like, I don't have an account with you guys, so there shouldn't be anything charged to my debit card.
You were able to take the money.
Yeah. So that was a big rigmarole. I called the bank, and I was like, I know it's just $3.28, and I know it'll cost me more to dispute the charges, but can I dispute the charges? And they're like, well, why don't you just cancel the card? I was like, but everything in my life is, you know, set up to run out of that card. You know, all my bills and stuff are taken out of it.
Right, right, right.
So I finally ended up having to cancel my card and have to redo all of that.
Over $3 of iTunes.
It was $15 total over 4 weeks. But, man, I was so mad. And then it turned out that it was Sophie getting some sort of music app on her phone.
What? You know, see, when you started the story, I was going to ask, was it your kids? And then, but you kept going.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, it was
a twist. You had a Shyamalan twist ending there.
It was funny because the other day she's like, can I put your debit card number into my iTunes account? I was like, nope. And she goes, but Daddy, I can't buy anything that way. I was like, I know.
That's the idea there.
I know you can't buy anything.
Yeah, I came under digital attack, had to change all my passwords, but I don't guess I lost anything out of it other than just aggravation and, again, a half day spent having to change passwords to everything, the Netflix, and then had to come back home. Then you go turn the TV on, you got to log back into everything. I mean, it's just you really do not realize how it's almost like collecting things. You don't realize how quick it grows and how many places you have accounts and passwords and all that stuff until you have to spend a half a day changing everything.
Do you use different passwords for everything, or
yes and no? That seems silly to say. I generally have, you know, kind of a core or a foundational version of it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's a little different. It may be backwards. It may be have something capitalized, or it may have a number. You know what I mean?
I do the same thing. I kind of have two or three, like, versions of the same thing.
Right, and then right. So, like, if I go to log into something and it kicks me out, I go, oh, I need a question mark on the end of it. Yeah. You know, I know it's some variation of what I use. I mean, you have to. I know they say don't do that, but who can use a different password for everything?
You start thinking of all the stuff that you have passwords on. Like today, or it was a couple weeks ago, really, but I was doing the registration for the girls for school, and it's all computerized now. And it had a username and password on it from the last time I did it, a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, how in the world are you supposed to remember a year later?
Right.
You know?
That happened to me with Amazon. I signed up for Amazon many years ago using what is still my standard commonly used email, and did not buy anything from Amazon for several years.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of years ago, went back to go back in to start using Amazon again, and I tried everything I could think of, and I, again, had been using a lot of the same passwords, so I didn't think it was anything, but I tried everything I could think of, even what I thought it was, and nothing worked, and I thought, well, I'll send a email reset, and then it wouldn't send an password reset to my email. Then it said, well, we don't recognize your email. So I was like, well, okay, well, let me just start a new account, mm-hmm. and then I plugged in my email, and it's like, there's already an account under that email. So I ended up having to use, like, I have a Yahoo account and I have a Gmail account. And really, the only thing I use my Gmail account for is for Amazon, so I can have an Amazon account. I don't understand how that stuff works, how things can go in but not come out, or how they can record some things and not others. As long as they can take money, that part seems to work okay, right?
Right. They take the money just fine.
The money part seems to work just fine. So, so back to catfish. Have you ever been catfished?
Not that I know of. I mean,
we're almost outside that age bracket. Well, you're not, though. You're sort of back in the dating world now, or not really. I don't know if you'd call yourself on the market or not. But
no, I'm kind of happy. Chilling.
But anyway, my original question. So you don't feel like you've ever been catfished or anything
Know, anymore, though, when you... It's so easy for someone to have an online persona that doesn't match up with their real life persona at all. And so in that sense, I guess I've been catfished by people who seem really nice and good on the internet. Mm-hmm. And then you meet them and they're a train wreck.
Generally misrepresent their character.
Right.
But not like their identity.
No, nothing like that.
Or what they're after, or money or whatever. Yeah. Yeah, I got you. That's kind of all of us. And it's one of the things of, that's why they say there's, you know, they blamed a lot of the surge in how they like to talk. The experts are, you know, blame surges in depression and suicide, you know, on the advent of social media. You know, there's this expectation of putting the best out there. You know, here's us at the vacation, loving it at the beach, and here's my new car, and hashtag blessed, and on and on and on. And you know, I'm probably even guilty of that. Of course, I'll say, though, mine is like really legitimate, though. I mean, because I don't share a lot anyway, but and I don't share anything extravagant. Like, you're not going to see me on there like, well, here's my new car, everybody look, hashtag blessed with my new car. But you know, there's pictures of me and Gretchen looking happy, and we generally are happy. And but you know, I don't think a lot of folks are. Mm-hmm. Maybe I shouldn't generalize like that. I think you know what I'm saying. The yeah. idea that people put an image out there for the rest of the world to see, to so that people will think they're happy, mm-hmm. whether or not they really are. You can be unhappy, and it becomes important to let the rest of the world think you are.
Right.
You know what I mean? Isn't that crazy?
You see a lot of folks, and I was probably like this too when I was married, that, you know, their Facebook profile is all peaches and cream and
yeah.
perfect family. And then
yeah.
at home, things might be...
You know what's going on.
Yeah.
You know, uh-huh.
mm-hmm. Yeah, you know things are different at home. And I get it too. I mean, and I hate to talk about stuff like this, but there are several married women in town that have messaged me on Facebook for different things. Mm, and, mm. you know, I always shy away from that stuff extremely and even block or unfriend them. But you just never know. I mean, people that seem like they would be really happy are out yeah. searching for something different.
Yeah, you're on your Facebook trying to make us think you got like Brady Bunch or Cosby Show. And but we yeah. know you know in real yeah. life. Real life, your house is like Sons of Anarchy or something. Right. But you want to put that image on,
yeah.
you know. And Gretchen is now in the photography business, helping people with that illusion. So,
okay, look happy.
If you need some, you know, softly brushed photos in your best clothes to make people think you're yeah. Brady Bunch and not Sons of Anarchy,
you should get rid of all your wrinkles.
Call Gretchen now. Yeah, I don't. And it's weird. I mean, I just live in a world where I don't even worry about that, and I don't think about it, and Gretchen doesn't either. And but I know I don't understand it. I don't. But here's the thing. Now, what you're talking about, though, with I don't think any of that is new, at least not the feelings or the behavior. It's a new medium.
Mm-hmm.
And there are the internet and social media has ushered in some new strange behaviors into our culture. But I don't think what you're talking about there mm-hmm. with, you know, flirtatious people on, you know, unsatisfied, unhappy at home out there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think that's new.
Yeah.
I think that kind of thing has been going on for centuries.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's the classic? The guy, you know, at the bar, my wife don't understand me, and yeah, whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't have a lot of patience for that. I hate to be judgmental, but
well, you know, I've been on the other side of that too, in that situation where you did have the happy home life you thought, and it really wasn't. And so I really don't have any kind of time for something like that. You know, I feel for that guy that's out there with that going on, you know.
But. Well, to paint with an even bigger brush, I know people think they do things like this because, you know, the life is too short. I deserve to be happy. All that kind of nonsense. No, you don't. But I deserve to be happy. Well, the thing is, yeah, life is too short, and it's too short to waste time with deception.
Mm-hmm.
How many calories we burn and how much time people waste deceiving one another. When if you were really concerned about being happy or, you know, deserving to be happy and having your needs met and whatever, on and on and on, then at least candor mm-hmm. and honesty would seem to be a better policy. But
yeah. And that, you know, I always hear that, well, I gave him all the signs that things weren't working out. Well, you didn't. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It shouldn't be subtle. It shouldn't be like a decoder ring. You should be able to figure it out.
That's projection. People then project and, you know, it's your fault. No, it's your fault. Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, because I had somebody ask me, well, Gretchen and I were watching Catfish, and I don't. She was like, did you ever get catfished? That ever happened to you? And I had to think about it a minute because I had something similar, but I don't think it would qualify as a catfish because I did end up talking to the person and met the person and even went out on a date or two. But what I found out later was like what she told me about herself. Now, this has been 15 years ago, a long time ago. Mm-hmm. Everything she told me about herself, like where she worked and her family and all this stuff, was all a lie. Like, now, you know, not her identity.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't meet her, so I know here's the real person in front of me. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that really counts or not.
What was her reasoning behind it?
I don't know. I don't know that I ever got one or asked for one, you know, because the last real conversation we had was when she called me collect from the county jail.
That may have been the reason right there.
So, but it, oddly enough, she and I are actually still acquainted on Facebook. We don't talk regularly, but she kind of got it together, mm-hmm. you know, and again, I have a thing in me which is prone to be judgmental. So, but, you know, if somebody, you know, we make mistakes, and there's accountability for our mistakes. Mm-hmm. I don't like it when people go, he just made a mistake, almost as if, like, you should excuse it.
Right.
Now,
no.
Hey, it's okay to make mistakes. You're going to, but there's accountability for them, too. Right, you can't just...
That's part of being an adult.
You don't just dismiss it and go, I made a mistake. What was it I saw the other day? Somebody had a drunk driving crash and hurt somebody else, and everybody was... Or got in a fight and really hurt somebody. I don't remember what it was. It was something like that. And, you know, people immediately want to come to the aid of the accused, the person who did the wrongdoing, and they're quit judging. He just made a mistake. He made a mistake. And I'm like, no, missing your exit on the interstate is a mistake.
Yeah.
Leaving the oven on when you leave home and having to go back, that's a mistake. Losing your keys or not remembering where you put, that's a mistake. Or locking your keys in your car is a mistake. This was a choice.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like it when people conflate choice with mistakes. And there needs to be accountability. You know, that don't always mean you need to be ruined for the rest of your life,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, taken out and given the electric chair or whatever. But, stop with that. Somebody make it's just a mistake. Oh, well, then we should just excuse it.
I had almost a similar argument the other day with a guy. It was right before July 4th. And he was complaining about how all the cops are going to be out on the road setting up roadblocks to catch people. And I was like, you know what? If they catch a drunk driver before he plows into my kids, I'm all for it. Put as many of them out there as you want to.
Right.
Every mile if you want to. You know. And he's like, oh, it's just the government trying to control us and take away our fun. I was like, no, you can't drink and drive.
By what? Trying to stop the drunks who are driving cars?
Right. You can't. It's it's against the law, but it's against any moral compass.
Yeah, you know, people hate. They hate the government. And who are the number one symbols of government that they see every day? I mean, they're not going to have a chance probably ever to see the president or, mm-hmm. you know, maybe even the governor, but... You know, we've got people in government uniforms walking around every day that are here to take your abuse. And, so that's what you end up getting it most of the time.
I ate lunch with the governor one time.
Yeah. Which one? The current?
Yeah.
The current governor?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He used to be the mayor of Knoxville, and I was
I
ran one of the bigger businesses in Knoxville. So
he's short.
He is.
Yeah. Yeah. I've seen him a couple of times back when I was in the news business, you know, not long after he'd been elected governor. I always thought it was funny, not to bat or mock the guy or anything. I'm not really, but when he'd come to town to talk, and you know we'd be standing in a room full of people, and he's talking, and I noticed he would rock on his heels and get up on his tiptoes, which I don't know. I figured that's a habit he had developed trying to be a little taller, or not above. I mean, it wasn't like an arrogance thing. It was more like, you know. And he probably not aware of it,
mm-hmm.
you know, not aware that he's doing it, rocking up on his toes and rocking on his heels and stuff. And
I'm trying to remember, it was one of the presidential candidates came to Knoxville one time, and they had a step stool behind the podium that they got up on.
Yeah, that kind of thing is commonplace. Okay. Yeah.
It was like everybody else kicked the step stool under, and he had to pull it back out. You know, get up on it.
Right. Yeah, that kind of thing is commonplace, though, you know, to make the candidates at least appear, you know, similar in height or, you know, I get it. Those kind of little cheats, you know, are okay. Here's another thing I figured out watching Catfish 2. And, of course, you'll figure out real quick watching the show that the guys that run it and that host it, Max and Neve, super ultra leftist inclusiveness, all this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So they make a real effort, not even more than an effort. They go out of their way to include, I mean, almost at a 2-to-1 ratio or 3-to-1 ratio homosexual relationships and transgender relations. Oh my goodness, this was so great. There was one episode where Max, who's Neve's cameraman, Max was off to, I don't remember if it was when Max was gone or Neve was gone. Neve left for a while because he had a baby. His wife had a baby. Max was gone for a while to make a movie because he wanted to be a film director. Well, anyway, they had a guest host come in, and it was a transgender person. It was a girl who wants to live as a guy, as a boy.
Mm-hmm.
So she's like the guest host, right?
You know,
and goes through the whole investigation with Max or whoever, and said this during the course of the show without any sense of irony or self-awareness at all. She goes, I just don't understand why someone would have to present themselves as something that they're not just to feel better about themselves. Without any irony or awareness at all. I thought, we are through the looking glass.
Well, I mean, she probably thinks she is a man.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole thing they come up with, is that they are whatever they want to be. You know? Yeah.
Well, here's what I think this has done, and here's where they're hurting themselves. I think they think they're probably, they want to, whether you agree with it or not, I know what they're trying to do. They want to normalize it. They want everybody to be accepting of it and pretend like it's normal and it's okay and all this kind of stuff. I get that. I know that attitude is out there. Whether you agree with it or not, that's what they're trying to do. It's their show. I get it. Here's the problem, though. By weighting their show down so much and giving so many stories, focusing on so many stories that involve homosexual and or transgender people, it has the unintended effect of maybe leading you to believe that these people engage in this internet deception more than others. Because
mm-hmm.
I caught myself doing it. I'm going, man. Homosexual people and transgender people, you know, this is must be another symptom of whatever they're dealing with, that they're all having to trick people on the internet. And after that kind of stewed in my brain for a while, I thought, wait a minute, that's not necessarily true. I'm thinking that because that's what they're showing me.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because they keep showing that those types of people doing it,
mm-hmm.
it leaves you with a false impression that those people do it more.
You know, I was thinking that too today. I was watching that Ozark series you put me on to.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's one of the police guys in it is gay. Of course, it's like one of the boxes you have to check now to get a movie or a TV show approved. There's got to be some sort of gay character
but
in it.
There's something interesting about that. Go ahead. I want to ask you about something about that.
But the gay character in it hooks up with another guy that is assumed straight at the beginning of the story, but turns gay. But it's both of the villain type characters in the story. And I kind of noticed it lately that it's the villain type character that's gay all the stories, you know.
Well, it's a leftist snake that's kind of coming back to eat its own tail. It's really strange because now they're all turning on each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought like you did, like you watched like the first couple episodes or whenever it's revealed.
Mm-hmm.
And you go, oh, okay, we got to make, you know, one of the lead characters has to be homosexual, and his story or his entanglements have to be part of the narrative and all that. And you kind of roll your eyes and brush it off. But then as I watch, I go, he's really, you use the word villain, and I'm only about halfway through the series, so I don't know where his arc is going, but he's very unpleasant. At one point, his boyfriend / partner even calls him a sociopath,
mm-hmm.
and we start seeing like really disturbing behavior, and then I thought, wait a minute, again, sort of like that, mm-hmm. like I had to check myself with that. I go, what are they doing here? Because then you start, because you know, all those people want to be represented in films and movies and all that. But anytime, you know, if it's a character that's bad or that gets killed, like you can only be in a movie if we want to be represented. We want to be represented as positive, and you can't ever have a character that dies or gets killed. So I wonder, now this show is brand new. It's only been out a week or so, and I haven't really seen any press on it or anything. I don't know if people are talking about it on the internet. I'm liking it. And obviously, the standard, what do you call it? The disclaimer applies. This show has some very, very adult themes, violence, and some dark sexual themes and stuff, too. So, caution. It's good television, but it's very strong. And it will not be to the liking of a lot of people. Ozark is the name of it.
I am seeing the religious character, the preacher, kind of emerge right now. I haven't got to his full arc yet either, but seems like he's a pretty...
That's sort of about where I am. I'm like on episode five. I'm like halfway. Mm. So don't spoil anything for me.
All right, sorry.
Ozark is the name of the show. If you're interested, it just dropped like a week or so ago. And I'll say this, and tell me if I'm wrong, man. Jason Bateman is killing it.
I know.
Is he not pitch perfect?
You know what I noticed, though, is that when he comes up on the screen, I can't... Like, if another character comes up that's that same kind of demographic, it's hard for me to tell him apart from Jason Bateman. He's just so average 40-something-year-old. Mm-hmm.
He plays that. He really inhabits that character.
Mm-hmm.
He plays it very, what is the word? Very idiosyncratic.
Mm-hmm.
He makes some really unique but understated choices.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because you can imagine... When you're watching and you can think of the dialogue on the page, but he's bringing so much more.
Yeah,
he's really inhabiting that person, and I can't really explain it. It would be difficult, or I'd be awkward if I tried to. But he is just absolutely killing it.
Mm-hmm.
He really understands that character.
Yeah,
and just is living it. And very impressed with him. I told Rand, I said, if he does not get an Emmy nod for that, there is no justice in this world.
No.
But again, that show is not going to be for everybody. It has some very, very strong content. So proceed at your own risk. If you're adventurous and not too easily offended with strong content, then it's a show you should definitely check out. So anyway, I hope I was clear about what was going on with the catfish thing. I really wasn't so much being critical about their choices. Well, I guess what I was worried that they were going to have a negative effect on the how people perceive gay or transgendered people as an unintended consequence because they make a point to include so many on their show that someone... who's not like me, not following it through to its logical conclusion, is going to think, well, these people do it all the time. They're catfishers. They're all gay and transsexuals. And it's like...
Can you really be catfished by a transgender person, though? Because aren't they saying up front pretty much that they're telling you a story about what they are? You know, whatever they're making it up as they go along kind of thing?
I'm not following.
Well, I mean, a transgender person who is like a man who thinks he's a woman... And he says, hey, I'm a transgender person. Isn't that kind of giving you a heads up that, hey, this guy's making up his whole life as he goes
along? But they're not. The ones we're seeing are either... It's very common for people, all catfish types, regardless of orientation. They take pictures of very attractive people, models. They rip pictures from models and stuff. So, you know, somebody goes and thinks they're meeting a 25-year-old male model from New Jersey, you know, with his pictures with his six-pack abs on the beach and stuff. And they get there, and it's like a 37-year-old black lady, you know, who's overweight and confused about her sexuality. And, you know, they almost – it's sort of like some will commit to living like another gender in the world, in the waking world. It's almost like they're doing it in an online version. And I guess there is a safety there. But then they'll go to their house and it's like completely different. And then they're like, and a lot of them, and that's what's really sad is you get more of an accurate picture of what it really goes on. You know, the world wants to tell us how... you know, normal and healthy and how great everything is. And what you really see are a lot of people that really don't know. They're really confused, you know, and I don't mean that as an insult. I mean, genuinely. And they say that they're like, well, are you, and you know, Neve and Max are always trying to be so delicate. Are you gay? you know, they're like, I don't know. I don't, there was one they went to where I don't remember if it was a man that was trying to be a woman. No, it was a woman or a girl trying to be a man. And when she showed up, it was obvious to me that it was not a man. Like, she gave him a story. She's like, picture getting out with like a hoodie and a baseball cap, looking almost like a teenage boy.
Yeah.
And with a little bit of a high-pitched voice. And she says, now she's still, even standing in front of them, is presenting herself as a male. Well, I got picked on in school because of my size and because I have feminine features. Now, it was obvious to me watching the show that that's probably a female.
Yeah.
But they're so sensitive and correct that they would never say that. They just said, okay, okay. And they kind of went along with the deception. And then later on, she reveals, no, I'm actually a girl. And I'm like, yeah. I'm
really?
Like, I knew that 20 minutes ago. But, you know, and they're so dishonest about it. Mm-hmm. You, even watching them do it, it's so affected and so forced. But their show, I wouldn't tell them not to do it. But, like, it almost makes me want to talk to them and go, you realize what you guys are doing is almost counterproductive to what you're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because by featuring these people in a show about deceptive behavior or emotionally hurtful things, if you're trying to feature them more, you're leaving people with the impression, people who don't know that community or culture, whatever you call it, you're going to mistakenly leave people with the impression that these people do it more often.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's like saying, you know, well, this race commits more crime, or this race does this, and or females and males. And I don't think they realize what they're doing. So, and I thought that too, watching, and I don't know that, watching that Ozark, I thought, I wonder if these guys are going to get pushback from the gay community. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To make a villainous and, what's the word I'm looking for? Mentally unstable.
Mm-hmm.
They don't like anytime you, because immediately in the minds of the rest of the world, they're going to immediately partner the mental instability with the homosexuality. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that usually doesn't go over well with the activists.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't even like it when characters get killed in shows and stuff. And it's like, I don't know, if you're having a cop show and you're having a horror movie where people are getting shot at or killed, you know, if you want to have fill in the blank, whatever kind of character you want to have, I mean, they either have to kind of play by the same narrative rules or not. But the activists want their groups to be in a protected class. Everybody wants to be in a protected class. Here's another thing I saw. And I had seen this lady a couple of years ago. And I shared something about it on Facebook at the time, and whatever show she was on happened to rerun. And I saw it again when I was at my grandmother's house. And the lady, her name is Amanda. She said she identifies as a man, but she called herself Amanda, and she looked like a woman. This is kind of weird. Like, apparently not real committed. Now, she wore, like, you know, real frumpy clothes and, you know, was a overweight, not attractive, and all that, which I'm overweight too. So, I mean, I'm just trying to be real. I'm not trying to be insulting. So, I'm not real sure how that works, because she says, like, oh, yeah, I identify as a man, but there was, like, no effort to appear.
She identifies as a real man because she doesn't put any effort into her appearance at all.
There you go. There you go.
She's more man than most of us.
So, and the lady's on YouTube and, looking crazy, wearing face paint and masks and doing these weird, I don't know what it is. Anyway, here's her thing. She is an antinatalist. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
An antinatalist.
I can't even imagine what that is.
What do you, if you had to put it together, what would you think?
I can't even.
How good are you with words?
Well,
you know, break down the language.
Natal would seem like something to do with pregnancy.
There you go. You're getting close to it.
So she's against pregnancy. Like what, against C-sections or against natural birth or?
All. She believes in the right to know life.
Oh.
Now, again, without any irony, completely sincere, and has been at this for years. She says that children are a biological experiment that you cannot control. She says it's irresponsible to have children. It's immoral to have children.
I kind of agree with the first part. It's kind of an experiment that you can't control. Yeah.
An experiment that you can't control, and the only thing that you can guarantee in having a child is suffering and death. And so she follows that through to make the conclusion that it is immoral and wrong to have children, and she supports the right to no life.
I say we should just let her go on with it. I mean, we probably don't want her reproducing anyway.
I'm not sure that's going to be a problem anyway, but this is where we've come. This is where we are.
Can you imagine your grandpa in his prime, back when, you know, you were a kid, whatever? Can you imagine him in the world today and imagine what he would be like?
I'll say this, and I get the tenor of your question, but my old man was a little unique in that, I mean, he would shake his head just as much as we would, but he didn't seem shocked by much, you know. Like, I can kind of see him laughing it off, and you know, he was pretty open-minded and pretty liberal about a lot of things, but, you know, we're just kind of reaching a point where, you know, it's not even just defying basic common sense. And what I'm seeing more and more are, like, the leftists turning on each other. Mm-hmm. You know, you see that where one of them uses a word that they don't know is one of the banned words for today, and then all the rest of them turn on. They're turning on their own. Uh-huh. They can't even keep up with what you're supposed to say and what you can't say, and it's comical sitting and watching it happen. What about that Kathy Griffin with the severed head and all that?
You know, I mean,
what point did that seem like a good idea?
Yeah, but I get that she's a comedian and she pushes the envelope, and I haven't been a fan of hers since the beginning, but, you know, that was just
The comedy?
Yeah, it was just ridiculous.
Where's the comedy in that?
You know, could you imagine if they did that with, like, John F. Kennedy's head when he was president? Or, I mean, they had a bunch of stuff about Lyndon B. Johnson. They had him hanging outside the White House a bunch, but not a public figure, not somebody that was a celebrity type.
Well, hanging someone in effigy, I mean, I guess has long been sort of a take to the streets protest kind of thing, especially in war-torn countries. Mm-hmm. But we're not even talking about this. I mean, this was a professionally produced photo shoot with a bloody severed head of the president by a well-known person. It just, again, at what point did that seem like a good idea? Mm-hmm. And not even really willing to back off. What got me, and then this is, man, if she had anybody left, this is where she really lost it. When she got up and then wanted to play the victim, you know, in the quote-unquote apology or whatever it was she was trying, whatever her PR person told her to go do, and then wanted to sniffle and cry like, I'm the victim. And look, if you have the, I'm not sure what the word is, if you are bold enough in a professional photo shoot to have a professional photographer photograph you boldly holding up a bloodied, severed head, an effigy of the president, you're not a victim of anything. That is not the act of a victim. You know, even if what she was saying was true, your actions don't convey that at all. I just don't understand. It's not like somebody, like Bill Maher, king of the leftists, too, who's fairly moderate on some issues. He seems to understand the Islam threat pretty well. His leftist buddies don't like him for that, but they at least dialogue about it.
Yeah.
They hadn't really turned on him too bad yet. But in his show, this is, we're way behind, like, trying to talk about news, but it's been several weeks ago, if not longer. He's in a rant, and he uses the N-word, you know, ironically or whatever, you know. Bill Maher is not somebody to use that. I don't know him.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say that because I don't know him. But I'm going to assume what I know about Bill Maher. He's not somebody that you would have to worry about using that word or telling a racist joke or something. He used it in a very specific context and trying to point out the absurdity of something, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. Just the fact that he used it, oh, no, 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 no. here come the leftist army after him. They, you know, after one of their own. And it's that serious now. And they're not even safe among each other. And especially now, think about how absurd this is, especially now with all this Russian nonsense, who's with the Russians and who's colluding and who's not colluding. Did we just, did somebody bring Joe McCarthy back from the dead? I have, you know, I have used, probably used that analogy in years past, that, you know, this
McCarthyism,
this vindictive campaign from the left, you know, to destroy people and to control speech and to
I mean, basically they've got a Hollywood blacklist now on Kathy Griffin. I mean, she, they, nobody will touch her probably for a project forever.
But now with this Russia business, it really is McCarthyism, right? It really is.
And they're not even communists anymore.
No. And now they're going to have another investigation, even though they've come up with nothing the entire time. And we're going to have another one now. Now we're going to look at everybody and your friends and your relatives and people that you rented to. And if you rented apartments to any Russians in New York, I mean, just on and on. And it's so transparent. Why we're putting up with this nonsense. But yeah, it's real McCarthyism now. We're back. We're back to the Russians.
Only worse, because at least they were actually communists over there. You know what I mean? They're fighting against. Now they're They're regular capitalists, just like the rest of us.
Well, it's just too much masculinity. You know, that's a, again, that's a, masculinity is no longer a virtue. It's something to
Did
be.
Did you notice that in the?
You know, because I mean, look at who are we talking about? Donald Trump and I don't. What's his first name? What's Putin's first name? I don't
know. Vladimir.
Vladimir. Yeah. Vladimir.
Putin,
the black belt judo champion, you know, who goes out and wrestles bears,
former KGB supervisor, right. You know.
And I'm not necessarily saying all that's good, because I've heard some pretty sketch stuff about him.
Oh, like, yeah.
If you don't,
I mean, you don't get to be the president of Russia without doing some craziness.
Yeah. I've heard that, you know, he's. Well, I shouldn't say things I don't know anything about, but you know, maybe some folks have disappeared, or you know.
Well, I mean, if you think of the KGB like our CIA, and they're very similar in the things that they do, the head of our CIA probably has done the exact same thing that Vladimir Putin did when he was the head of the KGB. Yeah. I mean, it's probably very...
Well, in all governments, all powerful governments, even in the best of democracies, you know, like our government, there's going to be shady things that happen and things we would not approve of and maybe are, you know, immoral and stuff. But just the idea that, like... What am I saying? I mean, you're going to have military or Secret Service or somebody protect. Just to know that, like, if you walked into this Kremlin or walked into the home of this leader, he'd finish you off himself.
Yeah. Like, you could imagine that he has probably strangled somebody out, you know, barehanded.
Yeah. You know? He's no joke. He's no joke. And I guess, you know, the thing is, some people are threatened by that. Do you want that in leadership or not? You know, I don't know. You know, not if it's impulsive, I guess, but I don't see anything wrong with, I don't particularly have a problem with masculinity. I wouldn't have a problem with woman president either. It's not like that. I prefer that, but some people are threatened by that.
Yeah.
They're threatened by that anyway. And they're going to find this continual banging of the drum, the Trump drum. Constantly over and over and over and over again. It's move on.
I mean,
it's so transparent.
Yeah. You know,
and what gets me is after CNN has been exposed, I mean, they've had their pants pulled down. Everybody has seen everything. They have been exposed to be absolute frauds and propagandists and all this. And what do? They just double down.
Yeah.
And they just keep going.
I saw one from ABC News, a press release last night, and it literally seemed like Barack Obama wrote it against Trump. I mean, you know, it was that bad. It was extreme.
Leftist. Well, you saw that article, and it was what was it? It was a New York Times article. No, it wasn't. It was Newsweek. I made sure that before I posted something, you know, it didn't come from Alex Jones or whatever people would, you know, immediately dismiss. It was a Newsweek article that last year the previous administration was already sending FBI agents to go find a kid in Russia, a hacker, and was trying to make a patsy out of him for the whole Russian thing. They was offering him, they was going to put him up in an apartment and give him all this stuff. Now, he's since been arrested and charged on some other unrelated, because he's in the business of hacking, so, yeah. You know. But they was already trying to cook this up a year ago, and this guy is talking about it, and it was in Newsweek. It's in Newsweek. I don't know, man. Do you think is he going to be allowed to finish his term?
No.
Much less two terms?
I doubt it. I mean, surely not the second term, but I honestly doubt he'll make it through his first.
It is unreal.
And I'm not saying he's going to get assassinated or anything. I think that it's going to be political.
I didn't mean that. I am just frightened that there is a movement there by a segment of our country who did not democratically elect him to undo the democratic will of the people.
Well, and the thing
that's
is,
that's frightening.
If you do impeach him, what happens? Mike Pence becomes president. Do you guys really want Mike Pence up there? He's probably a little worse than Trump on most things.
I do. I like Mike Pence.
I do like Mike Pence too. He is very, very cool. Motorcycle riding, pro law enforcement. You can't find a better guy than that.
I think I just, you hear that? That was the sound of the stop button being hit on phones and computers everywhere. Done with these guys. Done with this show.
Pause.
No, I like Pence, but you know.
I mean, but for a liberal, though, Pence is like the Antichrist. I mean, he would be bad for a liberal.
Well, of course, Christian, you know.
Yeah.
Don't like that, but whatever. All right. Anyway, before we get out of here today, this is what I intended to spend most of the time talking about, but I don't guess we really need to say too much about it. A bunch of stuff dropped at San Diego Comic-Con. Justice League trailer, Thor Ragnarok trailer. I'm already lost. There was several other things. It was like boom, 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 boom. It all came at once. What was the other thing I saw?
I saw they snuck out a trailer for Infinity Wars today or something.
Yeah, that's what it was. There was a leaked one from like a sideways phone or something. There was some other stuff. I don't know if it all debuted at Comic-Con or not. Netflix dropped a trailer for The Defenders, which I did not watch. I've not even seen that yet, so I don't know. I can't think of it. The science fiction book, Ready Player One. That was the other one. Anyway, we won't have to go through all of them. Let's hit the ones that are really important. Justice League, what'd you think?
Awesome. Looks awesome.
Yep.
Saw some discussion today on that last scene, whether it could be Green Lantern or Superman. And pretty strongly, I think everybody's leaning towards Superman.
Yeah,
but
yeah. There's some projection there. People want it to be Green Lantern. And we got a little tease in the dialogue about lanterns being in that universe. So that, you know, the door's open. Now we know that we're in that universe and all that. And realistically, you know, to properly be the Justice League, you need Green Lantern. But we're not going to get another one of these. So,
yeah.
Curious to see, though, if he'll pop up in there or pop up at the end. I don't know, though, now with them knowing that we're not going to do another one, or at least not in this with this cast and universe and all that kind of stuff.
Seems like somebody would have been cast as that and would have popped up somewhere.
Well, you know, it could have been kept under wraps, could be kept secret, but that's awful hard to do.
Yeah.
You know, I would be okay with that. I would love to go see this movie and be surprised with a Green Lantern scene.
I would be surprised with it. It seems like now that before a movie comes out, you pretty much know how it's all going to go. I would love to be surprised by a movie, you know. And maybe you should just staff the internet.
Yeah. A lot of people do. Mm-hmm. You know, in the month or so before it comes out, they go into, I see it a lot on the comic book and movie websites or pages that I'm on. People go into sort of a social media blackout. So they won't see anything. And I get that. Yeah, I liked it too. My concern is, and I told you I saw Bill Ramey, who runs the Batman on Film website. His comments unsettled me a little because I expected he would have a very strong positive reaction, and he kind of didn't. He left me with the impression that the trailer was cut and put together for a very specific reason to create this reaction that we think – we're getting something different than we are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because if you think about what we've seen so far, what have we been saying? Well, I'm not real encouraged. I'm not da 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 da. So it's almost like somebody put together a trailer to kind of hit what everybody was missing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, let's give them, they want that. Give them this, give them that, give them that. And yeah. You know, so it's a very controlled image.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really know. If the trailer is a true representation of the movie we're going to get, then I do feel better.
Mm-hmm. I dig the colors. I dig the way it's looking.
A little better.
The costumes are looking.
A little better. Like. Popping a little better. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can. Everything's not in the dark and looking all dingy. Mm-hmm. And yeah. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. That's what, November mm-hmm. for that, I guess.
Yeah.
Still some things on, you know, some minor complaints, I guess, in the grand scheme of things. I always hate to even complain, and I sound like one of those disaffected fanboys, but I don't like what they've done with Flash at all.
No.
What the iron? Everybody's got to go to armored suits and stuff looking like Iron Man. And
Flash's quote, too, I've never been in a fight. I just push people and run away.
Yeah, run real fast and push people. And, yeah. That's clever. Not quite keeping with they've done that like they've done with Aquaman. That's not really the character of those characters. It's not really what I know about them.
Mm-hmm.
So strange. We'll see. I want Aquaman because I'm an Aquaman fan. I like Aquaman and I want that to be so good. And Momoa is a good choice. He's growing on me. I think the Aquaman solo film is going to be pretty good. With James Wan. I just don't like the choice of making him the Aqua Bro. Yeah
dude. I'll dig it.
Thor Ragnarok. Did you watch that trailer?
I didn't. No, I was going to. I
want you to. I was really bothered by it. And I've been excited about it. And I'm going to. We're going to go see all these. Don't. Mm-hmm. It's not like I'm not going to go watch them. But. Were you and I talking privately, or were we talking on the show? I don't remember if we were talking about it, where we were talking about. But I told you it's basically going to be a Planet Hulk movie,
right?
Which I'm excited about. I want to see that.
Mm-hmm.
But the trailer plays like a comedy, like a Will Ferrell comedy. I mean, the entire trailer is just jokes.
Mm-hmm.
It's really strange, and I hope that's not the movie.
Well, now you've seen those. Avengers movies are kind of moving that direction with the way they are.
Mind the humor.
Yeah, but I mean,
I don't mind humor in anything, but the entire trailer plays like a comedy movie.
It's getting more like, I noticed that in the in Civil War, that it was kind of, there was more comedic moments to it than there had been previously.
Okay.
I'm hoping that after Deadpool made so much money, they don't go that direction with it.
Everybody thinks we need to have jokes,
right?
Got just constant jokes.
Mm-hmm.
and you want some levity.
Yeah,
you want some humor in there. There's nothing wrong with that, but these are not comedy movies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, slapstick and one-liners and through the whole thing, and that's the impression the trailer leaves. It's really focused on what a funny movie we've made.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I don't want a comedy, a Judd Apatow comedy. I want Planet Hulk.
Yeah.
You know, give me my Planet Hulk. And Infinity War. Did you watch that one? What'd you think about that?
I didn't watch it. I've seen pieces of it, but I haven't watched the whole thing.
I like what I saw, what I could see. It's kind of hard to watch. The only thing that bugged me about that was the Guardians of the Galaxy are featured very prominently, like almost too much for me. Like, you know, I know that's done well.
Mm-hmm.
I know those are good movies. I don't dislike the Guardians of the Galaxy movies, but I'm hoping they're not going to take over Infinity War.
The Guardians movies are good, but they're a different feel than the others. You know what I mean? It's more of a 70s retro vibe.
And it's good, and I like it, but I don't want Infinity War. I don't want them hogging the movie.
Right.
And I don't want it to, because of the rest of it, I'm kind of take it or leave it with them anyway. Mm-hmm. And not that it's bad. I like it, but please don't let them take over Infinity War. You know,
mm-hmm.
Well, I want to see our heroes, Cap and Iron Man. Spider-Man is in the fancy suit from the end of
Iron Spider suit.
Yeah. I don't know if it's Iron Spider suit or not, but. It may be. The one we saw at the end of Spider-Man Homecoming,
mm-hmm.
he's in that suit. Yeah. You can see it in the trailer.
Speaking of characters that got kind of feminized, what about Flash?
What do you mean?
In Spider-Man Homecoming, he's kind of not the Flash that we're used to either.
Oh. We got to change them all.
That's one of the things that hit me was like, man, Flash was always like the football guy.
He was kind of a caricature of the jock bully. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, can't do that anymore. We got to, you know, be inclusive, and they just turned it into something else. And, mm-hmm. you know, Michelle is revealed to be MJ. And I'm like, no, MJ is not Michelle. MJ is Mary Jane.
Mary Jane. Yeah.
You know, what are we doing here? What are we doing? Mm-hmm. We're going to force it. We're going to put all those square pegs into those round holes, and you're going to like it.
Mm-hmm. Or else.
Or you're an awful person, and we'll excoriate you on the internet and ruin your life. Mm-hmm. So there you go. But who cares? They're going to get our money anyway.
Yeah.
we're going to
buy the DVD.
But now Infinity War, that's not till next year, though.
Right.
That's right. That's mm-hmm. right. Yeah. Yeah. So we still got quite a ways.
And I want to say it's further into next year. It's like June, July next year.
But I was just looking in my Facebook feed today. And this time last year, we were talking about the footage, the Justice League footage that came from San Diego Comic-Con. Hmm. So that precedent is there to push things out, show a little bit, a year and a half or year and a half out.
Controlled leakage.
So, yeah. 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 All right. Well, that's a good place to stop for today, I reckon. Well, got some more trailers to watch. I need to go look at the ones I didn't look at, Defenders and whatever else, although I'm just not real into that. But, I mean, I'll try to watch it, so whatever. But I haven't seen anything. I saw a poster for Punisher.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen any footage or trailer. I did see something
for Punisher with the same guy.
Yeah, Joe Bernthal.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, it's a good fit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Remember Dolph Lundgren's? That was horrible.
It's been so long since I've seen it that I don't have any...
Yeah,
I don't have bad. I don't have memory of whether I liked it or not or anything, so I don't know. You go back and look at it. Hey, at the time, though, you loved it. It's the best you had. You know what I mean?
Right, I guess.
You deal with what you know, we're spoiled now. We're living it's a wonderful, wonderful time to be, you know, into comics and to be into these characters in this movie and stuff. I mean, I think I can imagine if this was all coming out, you know, like when I was 11, 12 years old, I'd be losing my mind.
Yeah. I'd have posters everywhere and action figures. And
I remember the insanity in 1989 when
Batman.
Tim Burton's Batman came out.
Yeah.
I mean, it was everywhere, and I had it everywhere. I had every shirt I wore every day was a Batman t-shirt, and I had a Batman baseball cap.
And I was nine, and my grandpa took me to that movie. That was the first comic book movie I'd ever been to. And we went to every Batman that came out while he was alive, we went to every one after that.
Cool.
Even though there were some that were horrible, but we went to see them.
We liked them then.
Yeah.
And that Batman Forever with Val Kilmer, mm-hmm. it made more money than Batman Returns.
Yeah.
That one's really weird.
Mm-hmm.
Did you catch the reference to that in the new Justice League trailer when he says something about the worst thing you've dealt with so far is exploding penguins?
Exploding penguins,
Yeah.
That was the one with Christopher Walken's character in it, wasn't it?
Yeah, he was Max Schreck.
Uh-huh.
Max Schreck. Mm-hmm. They threw Michelle Pfeiffer out the window or what? What a weird, just a weird boy. That was a weird one. Strange. Never cared for Tim Burton.
Yeah.
Really did not. You know, Tim Burton has a very distinct, a very idiosyncratic style. And you know when it's a Tim Burton joint.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just not into his thing.
I like the Willy Wonka that he did. It was pretty good.
It was a horrible choice not horrible. I mean, we got a pretty good movie, but not the best choice or the right choice for Batman. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it holds up. Michael Keaton, I guess. And
you know, and before that, he hadn't done anything really serious. It was all comedy stuff.
He had Night Shift, Clean and Sober.
Clean and Sober, yeah. I've never seen that one.
That was... you know, he could make daring choices.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, he's doing a serious drama now, you know. Mr. Mom.
Yeah, and then the one with where he was in the mental asylum. I can't remember what the name of that one was. and his two friends from the mental asylum. And
yeah.
They took off on an adventure.
Yeah. I remember it, but I can't remember what it was called.
It was like Screwballs or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah. I remember that. He's had a long career.
Uh-huh.
Had you really? And what was the joke we were making coming out of Spider-Man about him working at Bed Bath & Beyond from with the other guys? Was that the name of it? It was a Will Ferrell comedy, but he was their police captain.
Oh, yeah.
And he moonlighted at Bed Bath & Beyond.
Uh-huh.
And he was like, hey, are y'all here for the new bath mats? He had to supplement his income somewhere. He's putting his kid through college or something.
Yeah. Multiplicity. Remember that one where he made copies of himself?
I do. I don't remember if I saw it,
yeah,
but I remember the movie.
And like every copy got worse. And like he finally had the one that was like damaged.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What a long and storied career.
Yes.
He's one of those you just don't realize how important he is until you start kind of adding it all up. Mm-hmm. So. All right. Well, if you haven't yet, go check out all those internet trailers. Maybe that Infinity War, I don't know, though. It may be gone by now if Disney Marvel caught it and spanked somebody for leaking it or putting it on the internet.
I'd say there's so many copies of it right now, it probably couldn't be gone.
I don't know. Those folks are pretty good about scrubbing stuff. But anyway, it was still there this afternoon, I think. So, yeah, go check out all those trailers and get yourself ready to go see some movies. All right. Well, we'll call it a day for today, and we'll be back in another couple of weeks with some more nonsense. I'm Pastor Dave with Randall the Armor Bearer. We are
They That Believe.